Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Second show that we've had today, to be fair and honest with you. Hanging out with you on this playoff opening Tuesday as we're here with you for the full four. Also asking you to download that radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station outside the vehicle. You know, you're not spending as much time in your car there. So how do I listen to the station? How do I listen to this show? Simple. Radio.com app. Download that on your device. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, that Commodore 64, your Sega Genesis, your Atari 2600, your Nintendo, your Intellivision, text instruments calculator. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something today to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, that would be through our personal Twitter pages. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Always appreciate all the folks that have been jumping on here lately. Of course, that is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown. He's producing this show, hanging out with us on this Tuesday evening. Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Busy day, lots of stuff going on here as it is opening day in Major League Baseball's playoff. After the bubble, we had our first, North American trophy that was handed out as the Tampa Bay Lightning picked up the Stanley Cup. So that's the first trophy. Obviously, the NBA Finals get started tomorrow. Speaking of which, coming up at 8:20, we'll talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk as we get ready for Lakers and the Miami Heat. Good matchup. Listen, the Miami Heat have been red hot, and everybody's going to hate on LeBron, especially if he wins the title. Everybody knows I'm a LeBron fan. He grew up about 20, 25 minutes north of where I did. He's from the Akron area. I went to Akron U. His high school, St. Vincent, St. Mary, wasn't very far from where I went to school. I mean, just, you know, I've got nothing but admiration for how great LeBron is as a basketball player. So we'll talk to Kurt coming up at 8:20 as we get ready for this matchup. Plus some other news and notes that are going on around the NBA. We'll talk with him about all of that. Coming up in the next segment, we will talk with Chip Towers, of course, a buddy from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who longtime reporter for the Georgia Bulldogs, covering all things Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC. So we'll get his thoughts after, on the surface, you know, 37-10, you say, okay, Georgia handled their business. But, of course, if you watch that game, you know it was a tale of two halves. Wasn't that a book that was written by somebody? No, it was a tale of two cities. Sorry, whatever. So we'll talk to Chip Towers coming up in the next segment. Of course, this Tuesday we'll do rank 'em, so plus all of your regular stuff going on. Let's start with a couple of things. One is quick Falcons news. We'll talk more about it in the flyover. Darqueze Dennard put on the short-term IR, I guess is what they call that, right, where he's going to miss three games. Now they've kind of refigured up the roster. We'll talk about that, you know, what their starting defensive backs look like. I'm still questioning, you know, because I hear accountability and all these kinds of things, and, you know, all the same stuff looks all the same on paper to me, save the injuries and things. But Dennard, for now, at least goes on short-term IR. Of course, we're watching Major League Baseball. Already two games finished with another game in progress with Tampa. Houston comes back and beats Minnesota. A lot of people I know, everybody where you kind of read, everybody rooting against the Astros. I'm rooting for the Astros, you know, because everybody told me that they were the only team that cheated, you know, and everybody hates them because they were the cheaters and the only team that cheated. And, you know, of course, it turned out that I said, when I said everybody cheats, and no, that's wrong. And, you know, it turned out the Red Sox cheated and the Mets had some shenanigans and the Yankees had some shenanigans. But that's all right. Listen, I still love you all out there. I still love and appreciate everything that you mean to me out there. So appreciate all of that. Listen, Jarvis, I was going to talk about this last night, and we just kind of, obviously, we're busy in short. So this is how kind of far-reaching our show, Jarvis, has gotten. And appreciate everybody listening and always being a part of the show. Very funny kind of over the weekend. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter, she's having some issues just kind of seeing things far away. And she kind of had asked about, hey, can you have my eyes checked? So we had an appointment scheduled, or my ex-wife, I should say, had an appointment scheduled for her at a Target up in Canton. And a guy had DM'd me about something like that. And I wasn't really sure about the appointment. I didn't know that my ex-wife had made the appointment at the Target to get her eyes checked out. And I was like, are you going up to Target like at 5:30 on a Tuesday or something like that? It's like, yeah, I've got her an appointment and all that. And it turned out they couldn't make the appointment or whatever. There was something that happened that, oh, I know, my ex-wife's car blew up and there was a whole issue with her car and she had to work something else out. So she had to cancel the appointment. But it's funny because a guy DM'd me and said, hey, man, I'm a big fan. And he's like, you know, my wife works at this Target and she saw your name and called me and said, is this the guy who you listen to all the time on the radio? So it's kind of funny. He's like, if you're going up there, you know, can you get a picture there? And I didn't even know anything about the appointment. Well, then, so over the weekend, I guess it was late Friday, my ex had an appointment at a Pearle Vision somewhere up in Canton. And Jarvis, kind of funny, when she got there, and I don't know if it was a male or female that was working with her, but it turns out the folks at Pearle Vision up in Canton are listeners of the show. They're like, is your dad the radio host? And she's like, yeah. She's like, oh, tell him we listen to all the – so Jarvis, there you go. We're big in the eye doctor community. So in the Target, Pearle Vision, the eye doctor communities up in Canton – okay, we're big in the eye doctor communities up in Canton. So thank you to all the folks listening. And it's just kind of funny because now anywhere my daughter goes for an appointment, it's good to know that we have people keeping me updated because I don't know half the stuff that's going on. I know I pay for it, but I don't know what else is going on with it all. So thank you for all of that. But we're watching some playoff baseball. Of course, Braves will get started tomorrow. How crazy is the baseball? Tomorrow you've got eight games. Eight playoff games in Major League Baseball. What a crazy day tomorrow is going to be. Of course, Braves, noon tomorrow, they will take on the Cincinnati Reds. Programming note, we will have Gabe Burns on, our buddy from the AJC. So we'll give instant reaction to what happens tomorrow. Good, bad, ugly. We'll have instant reaction as, frankly, of all these opening day one game one matchups. The best game one pitching matchup is happening tomorrow at noon with the two leaders, the two front runners for the National League Cy Young, Max Fried and Trevor Bauer. This game we're watching right now is the Indians and Yankees get cranked up and underway. Garrett Cole and Shane Bieber, that's the next best. That's the best matchup today. And the number two matchup, I'll tell you what, that Blake Snell's a hell of a pitcher for Tampa, by the way, too. He's really good as well. But Braves tomorrow, we won't know the roster until tomorrow morning. And a lot of rumor and innuendo, as we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, that everybody's favorite pitcher will not make the first round. Now, just so you know, as was that Judge that just hit that? Yeah, how about Judge with a blast already, huh? Whew, two-run homer for Judge. How different playoff baseball. Bieber had a 1.63 ERA. Bieber, by the way, pitching today, not Justin Bieber, Shane Bieber. Bieber, by the way, won the Triple Crown. He led the league in wins, ERA, and strikeout in the American League this year. It was Triple Crown winner, pitching Triple Crown winner. He's going to be the Cy Young winner. There's no question about it. But how about Aaron Judge with a big opposite field home run? That's what the Yankees can do, right? They can mash the daylights out of it. Funny to see Jacobs Field, and yes, I call it Jacobs Field because that's what I grew up with and that's what it'll always be. Funny to see Jacobs Field in playoff baseball and nobody in the stands. But we'll find out tomorrow morning. Sorry, I get sidetracked. There's so many things going on. There's too much going on. Too much going on all at once. We'll find out tomorrow morning the Braves playoff roster. It doesn't have to be in, but the rumor and innuendo is that 77 may not make it. Heartbreaking. I understand, Braves fans. Heartbreaking that in this first round that he meant to make it. Now, very quickly, just so you understand playoff baseball. Number one, 28-man rosters. So the expanded roster continues into the playoffs. Number two, universal DH. That's going to continue in the playoffs as well. And number three is, in extra innings, there will not be the man on second base, right? So in the regular season, it was man on second, you know, the guy who made the previous out starts on second base and you try to move. That will not be in postseason baseball. So that's the one main change from there, which I'm glad. We don't need gimmicks in postseason baseball can hold up on its own. We don't need gimmicks. I don't need Doink the Clown, Bastion Booger, Fake Diesel in the playoffs. If you're going to do all that, just put the Repo Man on second at that point, because that's all it is a hokey gimmick, okay? So we don't need any gimmicks for it, so just playoff baseball is going to do its thing out there. So Braves, Reds, we're going to break all that down coming up at 7:40, the matchups, because this is going to be tough. Three very good pitchers, one great pitcher, the guy who I frankly think Bauer's going to win the Cy Young. Bauer had a 1.73 ERA and only finished 5-4. If that tells you about the offensive output that the Reds give him at times. 5-4 with a 1.73 ERA. You know, Bieber was what? 8-1 with a 1.63 ERA? Bauer was, and by the way, how about probably the Indians have both the current and a former player that are going to be deciding one. One thing about the Indians, they have not lacked in, you want to talk about, by the way, for all the Braves and their hullabaloo about how good their organization's been with pitching. Okay. How about when the Indians traded to bring Corey Kluber over, Mike Clevinger, Shane Bieber, Carrasco, who'd we just say? Trevor Bauer. How many guys have they rolled up through their organization over the last 6 or 8 years? You want to talk about the organization that's been able to develop pitchers and roll them through their system. It's been the Indians. Hadn't been the Braves. Even though they've sold you on the idea that we're pitching. You know, we got all the highest ranked. We got high ranked prospects. They don't pan out most of the time, but listen, we got high ranked prospects for all of it. But anyway, so noon tomorrow, Braves get it underway. We'll break all that down tonight. Lots of stuff to get into. I told you a bunch of things going on. But when we get back, we will talk to our buddy Chip Towers covering all things Georgia Bulldogs, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Week one of the SEC is in the books. We'll get his thoughts about where do we stand as a huge matchup with Auburn already coming up this Saturday for the Bulldogs. We'll talk to him next. It is John Chuckwood Show, hanging out on this playoff opening Tuesday, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this opening playoff day in Major League Baseball Tuesday. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there, especially as we get ready for Braves baseball tomorrow afternoon. Early start, 12 o'clock for all of that. Radio.com app site, listen to the station when you're not in your vehicle. Of course, social media at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. Of course, he is at JarvisD90. Well, successful week one in the books for the Georgia Bulldogs. The competition level, certainly, though, will pick up this coming Saturday as they will take on the Auburn Tigers. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our buddy Chip Towers joining us. Of course, covers all things Georgia Bulldogs for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check out all of his work at AJC.com. And, of course, you can follow Chip on Twitter at CTowersAJC. Chip, as always, appreciate it, buddy. And I know it had to be fun to actually be able to cover a real live Georgia Bulldog football event that wasn't like a practice or any kind of gimmick game, huh?
Yeah, no, it was, enjoyable and interesting and enlightening as well, you know, from the standpoint of there's so much we think we know, but then, you know, then you find out what's reality. And, you know, obviously this was a underwhelming opponent, but Georgia played certainly very underwhelming to start with, and we learned a little bit about them. And so, anyway, we should learn a lot more about them this week with Auburn coming to town, first home game, and obviously the quarterback carousel, I guess you would say, you know, will continue to turn. We'll see if that's Stetson Bennett, if it's JT Daniels, or if they go back to Dwan Mathis, or go in a whole other direction with Carson Beck, we should get those answers, but probably not till Saturday.
You know, Chip, going back to the game, I was surprised that Dwan Mathis got the start, and not because of his ability or anything like that, but just the fact that, you know, opening up in the SEC on the road, and you have a guy that literally hasn't played football in a couple of years, hasn't taken any football hits. Do you think that if the competition had been better, somebody better than, you know, an Arkansas team that's going to be one of the worst in the SEC, if not the worst, along with Vanderbilt probably in the SEC, do you think if the competition was better that Dwan Mathis still would have started in that opener?
You know, probably not. You know, I mean, certainly this could probably qualify as a conspiracy theory, but, you know, I think in the grand scheme of things, JT Daniels probably could have gone in Fayetteville. And, you know, if Georgia's medical staff had decided that he could, right? I mean, you know, here we are. It was Monday. Yesterday, you know, just a couple of days after the game, he was cleared, and then when he was there, he was not cleared, and we know he's 13 months removed from ACL surgery. Right. Now, there was another procedure we found out later that had been done in December or January to kind of clean things up, but generally should have had plenty of time to recover from an ACL, and based on everything some of what we saw and then we heard was that JT Dan has been going full speed in practice the entire preseason camp. You know, 40 days, he's been back there with it, granted with a brace on his right knee, but running through the motions and everything. So I say all that to say this, Arkansas is extremely down right now. Now, you don't want to overplay that. I mean, they're an SEC team. They have 80 scholarships. They have 85 scholarships like everybody else, and they have some extremely good players. I mean, guys like Traylon Burks and you know, their tailback. I mean, they have Rakeem Boyd. They have some good players. But, you know, that's probably going to be the worst team you're going to see all season until you see Vanderbilt at the end of the year. And, you know, I do think, you know, there's no question that they saw things in Dwan Mathis. Now, I never did get a chance to see Dwan Mathis in action in scrimmage situations, but there were enough with the donors there and everything there. Anecdotally, I was able to get enough information to find out that, you know, he looked good. He's 6'6", he's 210 pounds. Even in the game, you could see some of his mobility and some of his arm talent. But you also saw, you know, a lot of things that looked like a guy playing for the first time in 3 years, which is what he is. Flip side of that, man, I mean, Stetson Bennett played really good. Again, you know, it was Arkansas, but, you know, he had the fifth best quarterback rating in college football, you know, on Sunday. By the time all the games have been played, tied with Kyle Trask with Florida. So he played really, really well. And I do think, I mean, you're not going to be a great offensive team with Stetson Bennett, but I do think Georgia can win with Stetson Bennett because of this defense. I mean, you know, because of what they did against Arkansas, I think they're going to do, they did all last year. Only one team scored more than 20 points against them last year, and that was a generational LSU offense. And you know, you got much the same squad this year. So you don't have to necessarily be the epitome of explosivity that Todd Monken and the Bulldogs want to be able to win football games. You just got to score more than the other team. And that may not be a whole lot when it's all said and done.
Chip Towers covering all things Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chip, was the most disappointing part about, especially that first half, the fact that Georgia's offensive line really didn't do a whole lot, couldn't get a lot of push, they didn't run the football very well, didn't always protect Mathis well, he had to use his speed and legs. Was that the most disappointing part, you think?
Yeah, I mean, the O-line was, you know, and again, it should, really, it, retrospectively, it shouldn't come as that much of a surprise. I mean, that's a complete overhaul up there with the exception of, you know, Trey Hill and Ben Cleveland to some degree. And they didn't look very good. They made some adjustments at halftime. We actually just got through talking to Kirby Smart a little while ago on a Zoom call, and they're still looking at that. Now, they're really, there's only six or seven linemen that they're using, so there's not going to be any radical reshuffle. And he said tonight that the, you know, the first five that they started in that Arkansas game were the first five for a reason. You know, they evaluated him over the long haul, you know, really going back into last January rather than just, you know, what you see in that game. So I have a feeling their O-line will be much the same against Auburn. But what they ended up going to that worked pretty well is they moved Trey Hill from center to right guard and put Warren Erickson in at center, and they actually moved the ball pretty good at that point. So, you know, you're going to see a little bit of shuffle. That was definitely disappointing, really just not being able to run the ball very well. There's also this, and I'm not making excuses for it, but I also think I think Georgia kept it pretty simple, again, for all those reasons you talked about. They know what Arkansas's got, and if you just look at the last four recruiting classes, I think Arkansas's highest one might have been ranked 21 or something, like the one they just had. Or something like that. All of them were below that. Georgia, you know, two number one classes and three and two in between there. The talent gap was pretty cavernous between these two programs.
Chip, it was a good opening weekend for Auburn as well. I thought that was a really good victory over a, you know, maybe one of those sneaky kind of Kentucky teams that may sneak up on a couple of people and steal a couple of wins. But, you know, obviously Georgia's got to get off to a better start, but you know, something tells me Saturday that they really focus in on the run game. It's a, you know, you're talking about rebuilding Georgia's offensive line. How about losing two first team all conference defensive linemen for Auburn? I think they try to attack that on Saturday. How do you see it kind of playing out with what Georgia wants to get going on Saturday?
Well, they'll definitely play better. They definitely should play better, they better play better, I guess you would say. But, you know, realizing that the competition's going to step up a significant notch or two in this particular week. But I think they'll play better at home. I think you'll see a little bit more. And then, again, the quarterback factor, whether you start – I mean, I, I, I would be just shocked if Juan Mathis started again. Not that he won't ever start or that he wouldn't start again this year, but just coming out of that, there were just too many red flags. And the thing about JT Daniels, which is really hard to get away from, is 742. That's how many snaps he took as the starting quarterback at Southern Cal, 12 starts. And while, you know, we all know that Pac-12 is not what it used to be, that's a lot of experience. And I think even Stetson Bennett, having not played a lot, but having played, made a big difference when he got into that game against Arkansas. So whether it's Stetson Bennett or JT Daniels or both, and that's my expectation, that we'll see both quarterbacks on Saturday, but whoever goes first or however they deploy them, I think it's going to help Georgia's offense overall. And they've got to play significantly better on both sides of the ball, against Auburn than they did against Arkansas.
Chip, last thing for you. I've only got about 45 seconds left, but one thing is for sure, Georgia showed that they're going to be one of the top 1-2-3 defenses in America. It's still that pass rush. I know how good their secondary can be, but I just want to see that consistent pass rush out of that group.
Well, that definitely. Their sack numbers, I don't know if they're ever going to be what we all wanted to be. They keep talking about havoc. They did create a lot of havoc in that game. Obviously, three interceptions and a fumble were created, but just not getting to the quarterback enough. There will be some opportunities to do that. I think Auburn's O-line is a little bit vulnerable. Now, Bo Nix, he's a tough cookie, and he's better. He's going to be better than he was last year. You can just go ahead and write that down. I mean, that's always going to happen from freshman to sophomore year, and a guy who's as cerebral and committed as Bo Nix is. So, they're going to have to get more pressure, but I am really high on this Georgia defense. I know they gave up a 49-yard busted pass play, to Arkansas, but I'm still really, really high on this team. I mean, they really – nobody played more than 32 snaps, I think, on the defensive side of the ball against Arkansas. They have so many guys they can throw at you. And I think if they want to get after the quarterback, with all abandon, they certainly have the personnel to do it. And maybe this will be the week they whip it out.
Follow him on Twitter, at CTowersAJC. Of course, find all his great work that he does covering the Georgia Bulldogs at AJC.com. Chip Towers joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Chip, always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes with us tonight, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a much better week, too, in the SEC matchup-wise than what we saw last week, so should be a lot of fun. Thanks, as always, Chip.
Top 10 games. Looking forward to it. See you.
You got it. When we get back, no excuses. Let's look at the keys to victory for the Braves in this three-game set coming up against the Cincinnati Reds. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this opening MLB playoff Tuesday evening. Sports Radio 92 on the Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this opening playoff night Tuesday. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Going to read a text or two here in just a second. Of course, radio.com app. Make sure you have that downloaded to catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 92.9 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316, and he's at Jarvis D. 90. We'll talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk coming up at 8:20 as we get ready for NBA Finals action, cranking up mañana, Heat and Lakers. Interesting matchup there. But, of course, starting at noon tomorrow, we get into Braves playoff baseball. Quick text here from Ramil, I know one of our regular listeners. He was saying, quote, "I don't like the three-game series. I don't think it's good for baseball. I don't think you know who the best team is out of a three-game series. They should just play five at least." I agree with you. I really do hope that this expanded playoff with this extra three-game round goes away. You're going to have too many teams that – you're going to have teams that are going to be below 500 that find a way in the playoffs. when you expand this far into it, when you expand down to eight teams in a league. And I guess it was just a way to make sure everybody, you know, short season, let's give a couple of more opportunities, try to make the playoffs a little bit more spicy, if you will. But, you know, I don't like it. I'm with you. You know, because here's the thing. You know, the Braves are going to play three games at home, right? But there'll be no fans there, okay? So you don't really have any kind of home crowd advantage. And you're talking about you're going to run into, you know, at least one of, I mean, you're going to run into the guy that was the pitcher of the month in the National League for September. And you're going to run into a guy that's been, you know, really good as kind of that, you know, sidekick to him in Sonny Gray, who's got experience as well. He was 5-3 with a 3.7 ERA. And, of course, you know, they'll pitch Castillo as well, who, crazy, you know, 3.21 ERA, but it's only 4-6 on the year. So I'm with you. I'm not crazy about it. I really don't like the expanded playoff at all. I don't like it at all. I understand this year and all the crazy stuff that they've got to do, and I get all of that that kind of stuff. But I don't like the expanded playoff part of all this. Now, as far as the Reds go, you know, this is a true feast or famine team. You know, they have four guys that hit at least 11 homers this year, with Votto with 11, Suarez at 15, Castellanos at 14, Winker had 12. But you look this year, look at the batting averages of these guys. Barnhart, the regular catcher, 204. Joey Votto, you want to talk about a guy who's a professional hitter, okay? I know people love to throw that term around for Nick Markakis. By the way, he hit 226 this year, did Votto. Still found 11 homers and 22 RBIs, even though our right fielder could only have, you know, one home run. But you look, Moustakas hit 230. Galvis hit 220. Suarez hit 202, their third baseman. Look at their outfielders in DH, 245, 186, 225, 255, 224 for their backup catcher. Now, they only hit it at a 212 clip this year. Now, they're not a team that certainly makes a lot of contact. The thing is, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of the park that they play in, is when you hit it, and you play in that bandbox down there in Cincinnati, whatever, I don't even know what they call that stadium down there anymore, but that's a bandbox down there. Great American Ballpark, I don't even know what they call that stadium in Cincinnati anymore, but that's one of those places that when you make contact, it can go a long way. Yeah, it is the Great American Ballpark. I was right about that. How about that? Can't believe I got that right. But that's a bandbox. So you expect that when you make contact, balls will go a long way. That's what they are. I don't know how much of an advantage they have with that here, but certainly they're left-handed hitters. This is a good left-handed hitter's park. I mean, you see some of the left-handed hitters. Now, of course, the Braves mashed it everywhere that they went, but this has been a good left-handed hitter's park for power hitters. I think a few of the keys are, number one is, you know, after Max Fried, how do the two Braves pitchers match up? How do they match up? It's going to be Kyle Wright. It's going to be Ian Anderson, you know, in the second and third games. Kyle Wright will pitch the game three. But how do they match up, you know, on there? I think that's a big key. Because if the Reds have one thing going for them, is that they do have three guys at the top of the rotation that are very solid starters. And, again, the guy they're going to see tomorrow, the Braves, is going to win the Cy Young. Trevor Bauer is going to win the Cy Young. He was terrific this year. Led the league in strikeouts and was able to lead the league in ERA as well with only a 5-4 record. Now, one of the Braves' bugaboos, of course, this year has been the fact that they do make a lot of outs without contact. I really do want to see, at least at a minimum, Acuna and Ozzie at the top of that lineup, 1-2, because your best way in playoff baseball is to try to find a way to get those guys on base and let them start using their legs. They've got to be much better than they were with runners in scoring position and less than two outs. They've got to be able to manufacture some runs. That's why I said I like the idea of Dansby 9, Acuna 1, Ozzie 2. and give me three guys in a row that can run around the bases, whereas Freddie and Ozuna don't have to hit the ball out of the ballpark. A single can bring a guy in from second. A double can bring a guy in from first. And you have to find a way to create some runs because they've got some guys that are going to make outs without contact. And it's such a key in playoff baseball is that, you know, if you've got guys that get lots of outs without contact, you make it so much easier for these teams. You know, putting the ball in play, putting pressure on defenses. And because every pitch and every moment just gets amped up. And in a series like this where, listen, if the Reds come out and take game one, I mean, think about the dynamic of how the whole thing changes. And as much as we like Ian Anderson, well, he's never pitched in this kind of moment before. As good as Kyle Wright pitched at the end of the year, Kyle Wright was still dreadful for the first 75% of the season. So, you know, all of a sudden that sphincter can start to tighten up. And I saw where Snitker, now, here's the thing. I want to make sure, and I should have said this at the very beginning and at the very top of this segment. So let me make sure I clarify this very clearly. There are no excuses this year. None. Okay? Go ahead and mark it down. You know how Chip said, write it down that Bo Nix is going to be better? Okay. Go ahead and write it down that if the Braves find a way to lose this series, I'm going to be all over them like white on rice. I promise you I'm going to be a lot harder on them than I am the Falcons. Because I already know the Falcons can't get out of their own way with their coaching staff. And we'll talk about, we're going to talk some Falcons football, by the way, top of the hour. So don't worry about that. I got something from Mike Florio that I'm going to respond to. But I promise you, it will be, you know, on fire. Because this team has no business not winning. I don't care about the Reds. I don't care how good their pitching is. I don't care about three. The Braves are the much, 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 much better team. Just like they were against the Cardinals last year. And I saw Snitker, to what my point was going to be, talking about they thought they really were built for a long run last year and it ended very quickly and he thinks they're even better this year. I agree. I absolutely agree. I think they are a better team all around this year. I think they have a better roster. I think their bullpen is better. I think they have a top-of-the-line front ace starter like they had last year. What they don't have is that second and third, but I think that their offense is much better. And listen, maybe Ian Anderson goes out there and he's Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling. You know, maybe he becomes that guy. Maybe he grows up right in front of our eyes and, you know, all of that. Listen, when the Indians went to the World Series in 97, okay, you know, they were led by Jared Wright and Chad O.J. Who? Exactly. You know, that wasn't like, you know, Charles Nagy and those. They were led, their guys that really got them through the playoffs were Chad O.J. and Jared Wright. Remember, Jared Wright was all the buzz through those playoffs? I mean, sometimes you have those guys that find a way to get it done, and I think that's what we're hoping with Ian Anderson. You know, get out on the Reds early. Get them early. Get a couple of runs early. They don't have the bullpen to match up with the Braves. If you can get to their starters early and make them have to play come from behind. Because the Reds are not going to be a team that's going to manufacture lots of runs. Okay? One thing the Reds are not going to do is put guys in motion and try to run guys around. They're going to have to sit back and try to hit the long ball. And I really think, and I've said it all year, you know, if there's only one thing that I would have liked to have seen more is Braves using their speed even more. And I think you saw a lot of instances this year where, and I know we saw a lot of instances this year, where you saw that when the Braves get running, good things happen. That's not just Dansby, Acuna, and Ozzy, by the way. You know, that's even guys like Marcell Ozuna getting around the bases. Ender getting around the bases. You know, when they get their legs going, they have a real advantage. I just don't think they take advantage of it enough for what they are. And I understand they got a bunch of guys that can go bombs away in their offense. Get game one tomorrow, and then I think that this series wraps up fairly quickly. Lose tomorrow, boy. Whew. Man, you want to talk about pressure flipping very quickly. Now you got a rookie pitcher that hadn't had a whole lot of starts that has to step up. And by the way, no days off. So the momentum and the lack thereof that you have today, you know, is gone by tomorrow. All right, when we get back, Mike Florio, I'll answer your question. It's bigger than just Dan. We'll talk about that next. It is John Chuckwer Show, hanging out on this opening playoff Major League Baseball first round playoff series Tuesday. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.